unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon this morning comes in form of a question. Did you see it on the church sign as you drove in? If didn't, I'll remind you. The title is, What Do You See? Based on our gospel reading from John, especially our theme in verse 29, which reads, The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I invite you to open up your bulletin, find the sermon outline there and follow our theme, What Do You See? Well, it was an exciting night at the theater many years ago. A young actor named Tom Key was playing the starring role of Jesus in a musical drama entitled The Cotton Patch Gospel. He was full of energy, and the audience was really into the performance. This play depicts the ministry of Jesus as if it happened in the deep south of Georgia, in the USA, in the Baptist churches, and in the cotton fields. And during the scene depicting the Sermon on the Mount, Key, as Jesus, suddenly turned from his fellow actors on the stage and looked at the audience and pointed to a blank wall and said, Look at the lilies at that field. And he stopped as if he had forgotten his lines. And he repeated to the audience, Look at the lilies at that field. This time the audience began to shift a little nervously in their seats, thinking, oh, this poor young man had forgotten his lines. But then, with his hand, he pointed to the blank wall again and said very slowly and deliberately, Look at the lilies in that field. Now he turned to the actors on the stage playing his disciples and he said to them, I can't get them to look. And finally, the audience broke up in laughter, realizing he really wanted them to look at the blank wall. Look at the lilies in that field. Finally, every head in the audience turned and looked at the blank wall to discover what they could see. Looking and seeing is what today's gospel reading is all about. Listen to these verses again. 29, Behold the Lamb of God. 32, John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend. Verse 34, I have seen and bore witness. Verse 35, and he looked at Jesus. Verse 36, Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 38, Jesus turned and saw them and said, What are you seeking? Verse 39, Jesus said, Come and you will finally see. What is the story behind this look and see gospel text for today? At the time of John the Baptizer, the people were looking. The people were hoping for a Messiah, a Savior, one who would fulfill all of God's Old Testament prophecies. Would he ever come? And one day John saw Jesus coming toward him and spoke those wonderful words. We hear them again. Behold, John said, the Lamb of God, the hymn we just sang, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And some people began to follow Jesus. And he asked them a question, What do you seek? And then he gave them an invitation, Come and you will see. Some went and they saw. And they came to faith in Jesus, and one example was Andrew, who then went and got his brother, Simon Peter. Peter soon became Jesus' chief disciple. Later he became the leader of the entire New Testament church. But many people of that day would not follow, would not see, would not trust in Jesus. Let me ask you, why is it that today, in the day in which we live, so many people outside of the church will not follow, will not see, will not trust in Jesus. Well, some were never raised in a Christian home. They were never brought by their parents to Sunday school or confirmation class or to worship. You have friends and relatives like this, don't you? Your job and my job is to say to them, come and see. Come with me and together we will see my Jesus. Now some have heard God's word, have been involved in the church, but they have been seduced by the lies of the devil. They have been seduced by the lies and temptations of godless people. They have been seduced by the empty values of the world around them. And from these people's mouths who have heard the word of God, we hear this sad statement. Oh, we used to be faithful in coming to God's house. But you see, now we're just too busy to squeeze that into our full lives. I can't think of anything sadder. Some today hide behind an intellectual sophistication. Oh, I just don't have any room in my highly educated mind for simple childlike faith in God. So often we find this person has never really taken the time to honestly examine the Christian faith. They like to hide behind a lazy excuse of intellectualism. Well, come see me if you're interested, because I have many resources to address just this kind of person. And by way of commercial, the next Bible class I'll be offering after our study in Psalms will be an examination of these modern issues and helping you defend your faith in Christ to skeptics. Well, some people, though, have been hurt by the church. Some people have been hurt by the church or individual Christians. Some people have been hurt by close family members. And they use that as an excuse to turn their backs on God. Yes, the church, some believers, and some family members have made mistakes and need to ask forgiveness. Are you one who needs to ask forgiveness? Are you aware of anyone who has been hurt that I need to speak with? Let me know. Whatever the reason, the words of St. Augustine ring true. O God, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in You. Well, what gets in the way of people inside the church from really seeing Jesus? One problem can be treating Sunday morning as just going to church, a custom or a habit, something that's nice to do, instead of seeing worship as an encounter with a holy Almighty God who makes a claim on our daily lives. Another problem is a habitual absence from Bible study with other believers. That place where the Holy Spirit is hard at work to open our eyes, to change our hearts, and to inform our faith. Another problem can be a stubborn refusal to stop that unholy habit, that unholy behavior or lifestyle that's putting up a wall between you and God. Another problem can be treating prayer like a last resort, instead of a daily listening to and conversation with the Heavenly Father who loves us so. By treating prayer in this way, or by any other problems I've just mentioned, we can lose our life-giving connection with God. The story is told of a missionary in Africa who was given a brand new vehicle to make his extensive journeys to share the gospel. Well, after he only had the car a few months, now Jeff Arndt, who's my mechanic and our sound man, will appreciate this because he knows how much I know about cars. This missionary found that he couldn't get the car started. So day after day, he had to engage a couple of people to help push his car downhill. And when he quickly engaged the clutch, then maybe he could get the car to run. He endured this for over 2 years. Finally, his replacement arrived. And when he showed the new man how to start the car, the new man opened up the hood, took a quick look and simply said, "You know, the problem is very simple. The battery cable has just become a little loose from the starter." When the battery cable was reconnected, the car fired up and never had a problem again. My friends, if you are not as excited about the things of God as you once were, if you feel like you're just going through the motions in your spiritual life, if you wonder why God seems far away, perhaps it's because you are not in touch and connected with your source of spiritual power as you once were. If your cable is loose and you feel disconnected from God, ask God, "Please, Lord, show me how I have become disconnected from you. Help me restore that connection. Please, Lord, reconnect me. I need your strength. I need your power. Help me, Lord, to stop, to look, and to really see what alone is important and lasting and eternal in this life." Today in our sermon text, both Jesus and John the Baptizer invite us to stop, to look, and to really see what's important. As he points to Jesus, John says to the people of his day and to us today, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And as Jesus spoke to John's disciples who followed him, he said to them, "Come unto me, and you will really see." But best of all, Jesus sees us. And he sees our need. And nothing will prevent him from coming to us. It's the story of the whole Bible. This is the message when God came to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. You remember, they were hiding in fear and in shame. And God came to them in a word of love and said to them, "Where are you?" In the parable of the prodigal son, Almighty God, who's portrayed as the father of the runaway boy, saw his boy from a distance. And in Luke 15, verse 20, we're told these words, this text that will be the sermon text for my funeral. While the son was still afar off, the father saw him, ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. In Luke 17, we find the story of Zacchaeus, another one of my heroes from the Bible. Zacchaeus, that wicked, cheating tax collector that was so short he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. I love Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus climbed up a tree to get a good look at Jesus, and Jesus came to the very tree where Zacchaeus was found. And we find these words. Jesus said to him, "Zacchaeus, come on down, for I must come to your house today." There are so many examples of Holy Scripture of our Lord coming to us to restore our connection to him that we might truly see. Let me just share one final Bible passage on this theme. Another text that's going to be in my service, Romans 5, 6 and 7. Listen to these words. "For you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrates his love for us. God demonstrates His love for us. God demonstrates His love for us. That's the nature of God. That's what He's all about. And now, as His people forgiven, what are we to be all about? Our joyful task is to love others and help open up their eyes to the demonstration of God's love for them. This was indeed the first thing that Andrew did in our sermon text for today. When Jesus opened his eyes, here's the first thing Andrew did. We read from the text. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "Come, we have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. When our eyes are opened to who Jesus really is and what He's done for us, when our hearts are warmed by His love, we cannot help but love others and open their eyes to His love as well. We end our sermon with a story. The story is told of a school teacher whose name was Miss Thompson. And in Miss Thompson's class, she had a little boy named Teddy Stallard. Miss Thompson simply didn't like Teddy Stallard. She knew teachers should like all the children, but she really didn't like Teddy Stallard. He came to school every day dirty. He never did his homework. He didn't pay attention. He always stared out the window during class. Miss Thompson later confessed she almost got some joy of writing a big red F on his school papers. But then she took a look at his school records for the years past. And here's what she read. Grade 1. Teddy tries hard, but he has a bad home situation. Grade 2. Teddy's mother is very ill. He gets little help at home. Grade 3. Teddy's mother died. He doesn't pay attention in class. Grade 4, Miss Thompson's class. Teddy just doesn't care about school. Well, at Christmas time, Miss Thompson and her class had a Christmas party. As was the custom, it could well still be today, the children all brought gifts for their teacher. When Miss Thompson finally got the Teddy's gift, it was wrapped in cheap paper and taped up crudely with masking tape. And she opened it up, and it was a half-empty bottle of cheap perfume. And all the children began to laugh at Teddy. But at least Miss Thompson had the common sense to dab the cheap perfume behind her ears and on her wrist and say, "Oh, children, smell. Doesn't this perfume smell great?" And Teddy said, "Teacher, that was my mom's favorite perfume." When the school day was over, Teddy stayed behind to tell Miss Thompson he was so glad she liked his mommy's perfume. And when he left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees in that classroom and asked God's forgiveness for the way she had treated Teddy and all the other Teddies in her life. And the rest of the school year, she gave that little boy the love and the attention he deserved and he needed. And it made a big difference in his life. For a few years later, she got a letter. And here's what it read, and I'm quoting. "Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I'll be graduating number 2 in my high school class. Love, Teddy Stallard." 4 years later, another letter. "Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I'm graduating from university. Love, Teddy Stallard." And 4 years later, another letter. "Dear Miss Thompson, I just finished medical school. As of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. Who would have guessed it? And next month, I'm getting married. Would you sit where my mother would have sat at the wedding? Dad also passed away, Miss Thompson, and you are the only family I have. Love, Teddy Stallard." Well, Miss Thompson did just that. She had made a difference in Teddy's life. The love of God in her life, shared with another, made all the difference. Dear Lord, today, we pray, open our eyes that we might see every day Your great love for us. And thus, use us, O Lord, use us to open the eyes of others that they might see Your great love for them. What do you see? I see the love of a Savior for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.